The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DraftKings Network, however you take it is in. We honestly appreciate it very much. Very grateful for that, for allowing us to be part of your mornings. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas.
What's up? What's up?
What's happening?
Not much.
I see above your shoulder there that they're doing a whole thing. Well, they were a second ago on J.J. McCarthy's Pro Day. So that's what we have. 2 hours of J.J. McCarthy's Pro Day today. Okay. How are your brackets doing? Oh, boy.
They had a great day yesterday.
I don't know many people who had a great day yesterday.
Yeah.
Just anecdotally, of course. Some did. Again, congratulations to you. We have nothing but college basketball today on the show. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, will join us to give his picks for today and perhaps for tomorrow, now that we have the first half of the round of 32 set tomorrow as well after yesterday. Chris Felica, the Bear from the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. Same with him. Maybe he's got some other sports he wants to talk about. How about a little Adam Finkelstein from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports HQ, his college basketball thoughts today on the games. Dr. Bob, he promised yesterday he'd come back on. He keeps that promise a little later on the show. Kansas didn't quite work out in the end for him yesterday. We'll get to that. And then Jason Weingarten usually comes to us from a cloud of smoke. I don't know. Maybe the cloud of smoke will be right here.
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
I have no idea. I produced the show. I have no idea if Jason's going to be here or not. I can tell you what. Yes, he's not going to be on Skype. If we have him, it will be, yes, the cloud of smoke will have
be right here.
Right here.
Cloud of smoke will be right here. All right, let's start, though, because we're going to have everybody giving their picks later on. Let's just talk about yesterday first and spend a little time on that. March Madness never fails. And if we could just break these games yesterday down in two categories. One was the kind of snooze fest games, quite frankly. There were about 11 of those, 11 out of 16.
Thank you.
You wanted me to say that? Is that part of it?
Like, I just feel like every year, you know, it's like, whoa, it's so crazy. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of the games suck.
Yeah, yesterday, 11 of the 16 were blowouts. Five we'll get to, which were obviously just amazing in the way that they developed. First of all, the 11 games that were blowouts, and to varying degrees. Obviously, a lot of those were higher seeds. Number three, Creighton, covering against Akron, winning by 17, covering the 11.5. Number one, UNC in the West. That was in the Midwest, by the way. Number one, UNC in the West, beat Wagner by 28. That was a 25.5 point spread. Illinois over Morehead State in the East. They won by 16, covering the 11.5. All these were covers. Iowa State, number two seed in the East, taking down South Dakota State by 17. That was a 15.5 point spread. Gonzaga crushing McNeese in a 5-12, 6.5 point spread in the Midwest. They won by 21. Tennessee, a two seed, crushing St. Peter's by, what was that, 34. That was a 22.5 point spread. And Texas, getting back to a little bit of a higher seed, a seven seed. That was a 3.5 point favorite over Colorado State. They won by 12. I had Colorado State as my survivor team yesterday. By the way, I do have a buy-in, as I mentioned, so I'm back in today. One buy-in allowed. Colorado State, who had held, remember we did that whole thing about Virginia being held scoreless for over 12 minutes against Colorado State. Colorado State scored 2 points over a 15-plus minute span yesterday.
You know what? I didn't want to text you because I knew you had your...
It was almost worse.
I knew you had your survivor going on this, so I didn't want to text you about it.
And
but
they were up 8-2, and I was feeling like a genius.
All I was thinking about, though, was what we say all the time of, like, on a Thursday night football game, we're like, would you bet this if it was in the middle of a Sunday slate?
That's right.
It felt the same way of, like, Virginia took all the heat the other night, yet, like, because you're buried in the middle of the first round...
That's exactly
you
right.
You can escape from it a
That's
little
exactly
bit.
Right, because Virginia was a standalone.
Yeah.
By the way, Arizona, so all of those big favorites that we just mentioned and all of those higher seeds and lower seeds, not only won, not only advanced in brackets, but covered all the spreads. Arizona almost was in that group, too. They crushed Long Beach State in a 215 out west. They had two bunnies at the end, and they only end up winning by 20 in a 20.5 point spread. They missed the bunnies. So Arizona is the only one of these blowouts that I've mentioned so far that didn't cover. But then add a few more longer seeds to the blowouts, and those were to start the day, and this is where I bring in the Megapod story from this year. Last year couldn't have been better. Well, this year, let's put it this way. Before you could say, hey, has the tournament started? some picks flamed out. Michigan State crushed Mississippi State by 18. Mississippi State never even made a run in this game. That was a 1.5-point spread. And then Oregon, that was in the West, and Oregon in the Midwest is an 11 seed, really crushed South Carolina. There's no other way to say it. That was a 2.5-point spread. They won by 14. There was no real run in that game either. Todd had both Mississippi State and South Carolina in his Final Four. Will had Mississippi State in his Final Four as well. So a year after those guys just murdered it, the headlines from the Megapod. Todd called it, though. Todd said, he goes, I hate my bracket. This is going to suck. I'm just telling you, I'm not doing this 2 years in a row. And he even laments the fact that he went up against Izzo and Altman, two of the most tried and true tourney coaches ever. And he did what a lot of sports bettors do. They just regret some of the stuff they do sometimes. And so Michigan State rolls, Oregon rolls. And then the other blowout, the 11th of those, NC State as an 11th seed crushes Texas Tech. I keep using crush because they were all kind of snooze fest. This one was good for a half, I guess. And then NC State just absolutely outclassed them in the second half against the Red Raiders. 80-67, they win as 5-point dogs in that game. So those were 11 blowouts, and there wasn't much to those games. By the way, the two DJs for NC State, especially DJ Burns, they called it at halftime, Zach Randolph vibes from DJ Burns. And by the way, that's Jim Valvano. Not quite Jim Valvano vibes with NC State, but this team is good. All right, then the five games where, and we'll break these down into two and three, because the last three are ones that people are just absolutely going to leave a mark on. But two of the longer seeds that won in close games, I had BYU going to the Final Four. As a ticket, and also I had a long shot for them to win all, but I really my 12-1 for them to go to the Final Four, that flames out as well. As number 11 Duquesne, who hadn't been in the tournament since 1977. They beat BYU 71-67 as 9.5-point dogs. Remember, this was the game that people acted like they knew the final score. They couldn't bet BYU enough.
Yep.
Got all the way up to 10 at one point.
Yep.
To you. But it was such a microcosm of BYU's season. They fell down 14 points. I'm like, that's nothing for BYU. Sure enough, they tied it. And then they lose at the end because that's just BYU.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, what? They got cold from three early in the second half, and it was just that team can't get cold from three.
I'm screaming at Khalifa the whole game. It's just get him out of the game. It's a whole thing with BYU.
So I was pretty impressed with Duquesne, actually, though. I thought they played some good
ball. They were great. They're absolutely great. They deserve credit. And then the other one of the five games that came down to some drama, and the biggest upset of the day, number 14 Oakland in the South beats Kentucky, a 13.5-point favorite. So this was not only the biggest outright upset in terms of a betting market, but also in terms of your brackets, or if you had Oakland, let's say, in Survivor, every which way. Oakland beats Kentucky 80-76. Jack Golke for Oakland, 32 points on 10 of 23 point shooting. And this gives us our moment. I guess we'll have to save the real three games that leave a mark for after the break here. But this gives us a moment to just talk about Coach Cal and Kentucky, and not to get too sports talk radio on you. But this is maybe the biggest sort of, I don't know, lie that has ever been thrown on the American sports betting public is how good some of these revered college coaches are, how respected they are for what they do. I've told this story maybe five times in all the years on a numbers game, but I go back to the year that C.J. McCollum and Lehigh upset Duke in a 15-2 game. I was on a flight. I was sitting in a middle seat. Sat in middle seats back in those days, Kelly. And this guy to my right.
Why?
It's your budget. The guy on my right kept looking over. I was handicapping baseball. I was doing something on a spreadsheet with my spreadsheets in baseball. And I could tell he was like looking over me. And then finally he spoke. He's like, oh, what are you doing there? I told him. And he goes, he waited a little while longer. He goes, oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so. I'm my assistant coach on Lehigh. This was like right after they had pulled off the upset. And I've told this story before, and I start talking about the game, and he goes, and he started talking about, and again, another pregnant pause. And then finally he goes, you know what we couldn't understand? I was like, about what? About the game. What? He goes, that Coach K just didn't make any halftime adjustments whatsoever. None. And if you've ever listened to Alan Boston all these years, he always talked about how Coach Krzyzewski was never as good of a coach as people made him out to be. When I used to hang out with Bomani, he's a big North Carolina fan. He used to talk about Roy Williams, great recruiter, can't coach. Coach Cal had no answers yesterday. John Calipari had no answers for Oakland. Couldn't stop the kid from shooting the threes. And again, he's got these freshmen who just had a bad game. And this is the unforgivable part. I'll just say this with X's and O's. Take a guy like Jim Harbaugh. When I was at the West Coast Conference tournament a couple weeks ago, I talked to a guy who used to play for Harbaugh at the University of San Diego. And he goes, Harbaugh isn't a great X's and O's guys, but he's a master motivator. And when something is amiss with his assistant coaches, he will step in. You have to have some basis in X's and O's. You have to remember that at the core, that's what you were. And with guys like Calipari, it doesn't feel like he has any ability to coach his way out of anything. And regardless of how you feel about that part, the unforgivable part, the unassailably unforgivable part about this is, at the end of the game, he throws his freshman under the bus. You're 65 years old. They're teenagers. Take it, man. Like, haven't you evolved enough as a human being to, like, accept the responsibility? Well, you know, the freshmen just didn't play as well as they normally do. They didn't hit the shots they normally do. That's just unacceptable, dude.
I think it's always a question in college sports, football or basketball. It's how good of a coach are you versus how good of a recruiter, right? You said something right there. I mean, I think Coach Cal probably, as much as anybody, like, at the core, I don't know, over the past dozen years, it's probably changed him being more of a recruiter.
Imagine if we had a bad show, Gilly. Imagine. And I was like, well, you know, Kelly just wasn't as funny today. His arm swing wasn't as pronounced today. It's all Kelly. It's just horrible. We'll get to another three games, the worst of the three yesterday that left a mark. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter...
Oh, it's a lot of college basketball, Gil. As you can imagine, a lot of recap from yesterday. Preview for today, Steve Mackinnon with a bunch of system plays and qualifiers for games going on this afternoon.
All right, and once again, we're going to have tons of folks here momentarily stand by with all their picks today. Tim Murray, VSiN Primetime, Dr. Bob, Michael Montesano, I didn't mention, going to join us. He was one of the few people I know had a great day yesterday, and he gave out all those picks here on A Numbers Game. So he was on point with everything, so he'll join us again today. By the way, the VSiN newsletter, get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Once again, yesterday, I just want to, not to beat the dead horse here with Kentucky, but Rob Dillingham, 2 of 9 from the field. Reed Shepard, 1 of 5 from the field. And then Cal's boy, DJ Wagner, 0 of 5 from the field. It happens. They're freshmen. Oakland is so much older than them. And it's just, again, how he handled it after the game, I could not believe.
I could not believe. I was watching. I had that on, like, second screen. Most of it was muted. And it just, every time Golkey had the ball, I'm like, what is this kid, like, 30? Like, you know, and you're like, I'm saying that. And then, of course, I turn up the volume later in the game, and they're like, Golkey here in his sixth year of college. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. The comments after the game were weird to me from this day. You took it one way. I'll take it another of, Coach Cal, you can complain. I'd still rather be in your shoes, though. I know NIL and transfer portal and everything changes sports. I'd still rather be in the business of one-and-done college basketball than what everybody else is in. So, yeah, sometimes your younger players aren't going to be able to get you home, and these are going to happen. But I'd still rather be in that business.
I don't know. Here's where I start to sound real old. Because, again, I grew up when Patrick Ewing played 4 years of college basketball and Michael Jordan played 3. I don't even have to go back that far. Let me just pick a random 90s player. I don't know why this first jumps in my head. Keith Van Horn played 4 years at Utah. Yep. Right? Like, I mean, the quality was just different. It was a fantastic, just quality-wise. And we still love college basketball, don't get me wrong, but a lot of that is we bet. We have brackets. When it comes tournament time, we have Survivor. We have all these things. Not every game is a Rembrandt. Let's put it that way. Okay. But we have the 11 games where, again, we're blowouts. Those two, Duquesne and Oakland, yesterday over BYU and Kentucky. Again, congratulations to all who had Duquesne and Oakland in their brackets or in Survivor pools. By the way, yesterday I flamed out with Colorado State, but I do get the rebuy. I am going to take... I think, and I have 3 entries. I think two Wisconsins and one Utah State today. Got to play it more conservative now because I don't have I don't have the safety net anymore. But the three games yesterday. Now Duquesne and Oakland. If you lost on BYU and Kentucky, you can be upset about it. But that was very much in character for BYU. And I hate to say it, we said this about Kentucky, right? All of our guests. When I asked the question, who's got the most wide range of outcomes in this tournament? I think we had one Gonzaga, but most people say Kentucky, right? That was their answer. They could go deep, they could flame out, and that's what happened. They flamed out. Go ahead.
No, just to finish up this one, yeah. Golkey, real quick. Did you catch the stat line? 10 for 20 from 20, field,
and then 10 for 20
from three, and two free throws.
Well, there was a stat. Clark Kellogg was saying yesterday. He's taken hundreds of shots. Like I don't know how many total years was it? 200 plus or 400 plus?
Yeah, I heard
and
this
only
too.
Eight were two pointers.
Yeah. I think I heard this morning it was either 4 or 6 points he scored all season that were two.
Yeah, and Kenny Smith immediately was like, oh, he'd have to drive if it were me. Like he'd get up on him. All right, but the three games there's not really much you can say. I don't think you can complain that much. Sure, you can complain about Cal. But that's kind of BYU and that's kind of Kentucky. Yeah,
I was on BYU. You can't complain after watching that game yesterday.
I love BYU, but I was like, that's exactly how they were all year. But these three games, I think, left more of a mark yesterday than anything, which is, first of all, if you were on Nevada, my condolences to you. 10th seed Nevada in the Western region, a 17-point lead, 1.5-point favorites, a 17-point lead with just over 7 minutes left in the game against number 7 Dayton out west, and they lose it 63-60 on the strength of what was a 17-0 run to tie it, and what was really a 24-4 run after being down 17 the rest of the way. 24-4 down the stretch, including the 17-0 run. And Nevada and Steve Alford get beat at the finish line. And not only that, they don't cover, they don't hit on the money line, nothing happens, right? So if you had Dayton, what a flourish of a win and what a comeback win. So if you have Nevada, I know that left a mark. The other one was Drake. Drake also in a 10-7 game, this one in the East. Drake also a 1.5-point favorite. Again, both the 10 seeds were favored in those two respective games. Drake has an 8-point lead with under 7 minutes left, and they lose to Wazoo. Drake, if you're watching this, because Drake was a very popular pick, of all the trendy picks, Drake was the one that like gave people a lot of excitement and thought, oh, well, this one's actually going to get home.
Yeah, I had him.
You had him, too. They're up 8 with less than 7 minutes left. Not only up 8, they get the ball twice while, you know, they have the rock with the lead, and they just hoist up these ridiculous threes. Mm-hmm. And so they leave the door open, and Wazoo said, thank you very much. I'll walk through that. Remember, Drake was up on Miami late last year as well in the first round. They were up 8 with less than 5 minutes to play against Miami last year in the first round and lost. And they lose, and remember, Miami got all the way to the Final Four after that. So remember, like a lot of these things on a fulcrum, we have no idea what fate would have had in store had it not gone that way.
Right, yeah.
So it's 2 years in a row if you were on Drake. And then did you catch this last night? The third of these that left a mark. So if you were on Nevada, if you were on Drake, my condolences every which way. If you were on Samford, I don't know how to feel about this one. This is the 13-4 game out in the Midwest. This was the last game after a long day of college basketball. If you already hadn't taken punches all day, whether betting or bracket-wise, this was the final insult to injury. Kansas is beating Samford by 22 early in the second half. 22. Forget the fact they don't have McCullers. It's like easy peasy. We got this game. Well, not so much. Early second half, they're winning by 22. Samford roars all the way back. Just over 5 minutes left, they had cut the lead to 1. Couldn't quite get over the hump. They cut the lead to 1. Kansas got it back to a 7-point lead. Then it got down to 1 again in the closing seconds. And Kansas with an outlet pass to Nicholas Timberlake, who is going to the hoop. Remember, they're up 1. We're talking about 14, 15 seconds left in the game now. And A.J. Staten-McCray of Samford with, and this gets lost in it, with maybe the best play you'll ever see on defense.
Yep.
Comes up at the top of Timberlake's arc, or top of his jumping arc, I should say, tips the ball out of his hands, prevents the basket. They blow the whistle. And by the way, the announcers were all over it. So, replays clearly showed he didn't get touched.
So bad.
Timberlake makes two free throws. Stanford can't score, and that's the end of that. Kansas ends up winning by 4. They don't cover, by the way, after winning by 22, or after leading by 22, I should say. But nonetheless, that was a brutal outcome for, forget betters, for the Samford kids. And I don't know what, like, by the way, I don't know. I can't remember. Did a Kansas player get the loose ball? Did player?
No, I think Samford did. Yeah, right? It was a clean block. It went off and the Samford backboard, and it was a clean recovery.
Yeah, it was a clean recovery, as we like to say in football. Clean recovery.
Yeah.
And they would have been down 1 with 14 seconds left in the game at that point. That's a, and I get it. People are like, oh, the last play of the game doesn't determine the outcomes of these games. Yeah, but it was the biggest moment of the game. And it was just such a brutal call. And Charles Barkley made this point. Charles Barkley is always awkward when he does college basketball because he's very open about the fact that he hasn't watched any of it. But he did have a good salient point after this. He goes, for some of these games where the incessant reviews, like there were some of these games where just the last 2 minutes take forever. All the incessant reviews, we can't review that.
I don't know what the answer to this is.
I mean, I get it. You can't change the rules on the fly.
It is the toughest part of that yesterday, because how many games did you sit through before that thinking, oh, my God, how much time are we taking to review this? Like, it was ridiculous all day long. And then, yeah, you get to that point last night. And you're like, wait, but we can't look at this and overturn.
Yeah. So Kansas gets through, and now you got a Kansas-Gonzaga game, which, again, we'll talk to all of our guests here moving forward now. Everybody's got college basketball picks coming up, but not just all of today's games, the second half of the round of 64, but also the first half of the round of 32, with those matchups being set for tomorrow. So are you so again, my survivor? 2 Wisconsin today, I believe, and 1 Utah State. I think I have settled that in my head.
All right.
How'd your brackets do? Terribly?
I mean, I'm only in 1 bracket. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I guess it's not in shambles yet.
Like, okay.
I
don't know,
people overreact after 1 day.
RIP BYU.
You got to give the bracket at least 2 days to get completely killed, usually. Bets today, though. FAU, Baylor, Auburn, TCU. Let's go.
You're betting them all.
Bet all
ATS. Yep. Say them again.
FAU, Baylor, Auburn, TCU. I bet them all yesterday. We talked about it.
Yep. Okay. Coming back, Tim Murray, all his plays today, his reactions to yesterday, but all of his plays today and tomorrow. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
Promo code ANG, as in a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Michael Barboza. Greetings again, Gil. Do you have any picks in Miami today? Didn't see any on the picks page this morning. Appreciate the help. Good luck today. Just one on the men's side, Alex Mickelson. Alex Mickelson minus, very short minus money. I got him at minus 103 today in his match against Talon Griekspoor. Mickelson, the only play in tennis today. J.D. Emmons, our buddy from Alabama. I gave the bet on every underdog a shot yesterday in the tournament. I didn't bet any game unless it was plus 130 or higher. Interestingly, I ended up plus 5 units for the day with Oakland at 7-1, the big winner. Cool way to play the first round. Mark Hansen, I placed my first college basketball live bet last night. I have now experienced the spinning wheel of death. At least the Kansas-Samford over got home. Chance Copperpot also did the experiment. I bet all of the dogs in the first round 1 unit. I skipped 1 game because of even odds, but bet the rest. After day 1, up 3.25 units. Let's see how it goes. Len Glauzenski, Calipari is a terrible coach. All he can do is recruit, and that is only because he is in bed with the AAU coaches. Joe Nigro, how dare you question Coach Cal? He did teach them, after all, free throws to toss the ball to the ref. and on and on. We'll read more. Tim Murray joins us now, everybody. He is the co-host of Beeson Primetime, weekday, 6 p.m. right here at the network. He joins us now to perhaps lament yesterday and rejoice that it's a new day today, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Tim?
It's a new day, yes. You know, I'll praise my guy Jack Golke for Oakland. The guy that I would love to be when I get older. Just shoot threes, do nothing else.
When I get older. That's right.
The stat that I tweeted out, 300 entering yesterday, 327 3-pointers attempted, 8 2-pointers.
That's the one.
And that's what he did yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
A fun result there. Shouts to Jonathan Von Tobel, my partner. Didn't have money line, but did have Oakland plus the points. And we had a little first to 10 during the show, which was fun. And that's where I'm trying to look positively because I don't know how many of you had Drake, but for a second straight year, up 8 with under 8 to go and completely melted down.
I just talked about it. Nevada, Drake. Samford in a different way, right? Because they got screwed by the call at the end. But Nevada and Drake. Yeah. Nevada and Drake just blowing leads. Drake, as you said, for the second straight year. Those are the ones I think that left the biggest mark. Before we get on to today and tomorrow. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's the thing about this crazy tournament. We love it so much. We love to bet it. Sometimes you're going to have great days, but you know, I'll give you teams that shoot the ball well end up not shooting the ball well. Creighton is a good shooting team, but they shot, you know, 10 of 16 from 3. Is that sustainable? Probably not, but you know, we move on and we try to handicap this bad boy the best of our capabilities.
Yeah, the big beneficiaries, by the way, from Kentucky losing and Texas Tech losing is obviously in that region in the South. And you would think that it is the Houstons and the Marquettes of the world, right? Like all of a sudden now that becomes a thing. Like, are you feeling it? Like if you are a guy who has Houston going all the way right now, that you should feel that much better after yesterday?
Well, I am a guy who has Houston going all the way. So I do feel better, Gil. Yeah. Now, they got to keep on winning. And, you know, Texas A&M, if they're to beat Nebraska with that bully ball kind of mentality where they just brick every shot, but go and get offensive rebounds, best offensive rebounding team in the country. I think that could be kind of a unique matchup for Houston in the second round there. If the Aggies are able to beat the Cornhuskers, you know, today. But yeah, I mean, I felt like Houston, the offense makes me a little bit nervous, but when you look at a team like Kentucky, we know what they're capable of on the positive end, but what we saw last night and their poor defense is what they're, likely to do from a defensive standpoint. So yeah, I mean, if you have a Marquette to the Sweet 16 or Marquette to the Elite 8, you feel phenomenal right now, because there were questions about them, getting out of the bottom part of the bracket with Tyler Kolek. And, you know, Gil, we talked about it on our show, prior to the start of the tournament. I felt like Marquette was a little overinflated, from an odds perspective to win the West region, just because of the uncertainty of Tyler Kolek. So if you do have a Marquette to get to the Final Four future, yesterday was a great day for you, obviously, because the 3 and the 6 both got eliminated.
Yeah, and just again, quantified in KenPom terms, because we talked about how UConn got the worst of it in terms of their region. Yep. And other teams got the best of it. Houston now, with those two eliminations of Kentucky and Texas Tech yesterday, in top 24, KenPom, I use that because St. John's was 25th headed into the tournament. Only Marquette and Duke now exist in their region. That is top 24, KenPom. So quantifying it that way. Last thing before we get your picks, a real quick answer. Beyond what we've talked about, what was your biggest, like, what team stood out to you as, okay, they could actually make a deeper run than most people think? Was it NC State? Was it Oregon? Was it Michigan State?
I'll say Oregon. I think, you know, everybody loves Tom Izzo, rightfully so. And man, the social media love for him. Oh, you can't bet against him in March. Well, he's like 2 games over 500 ATS. But, you know, let's just make stuff up. You know who is unstoppable? So it seems in March, Dana Altman. He's 16-6-1 now ATS in March. It feels like this team is starting to pick up steam. Obviously, they're an underdog, but this thing opens 7. and got bet down to I believe 5.5 is where we sit now. I'm fascinated to see this game on late Saturday night. Oregon and Creighton. I think Oregon has the chance to be very competitive. I took a little 5.5, just kind of off, you know, quick glance. But I would say Oregon, of those teams you mentioned, you know, look, Creighton, I think what they have going for them, Gil, is this. They don't make mistakes, and they have the ability to get white hot from three. And we saw that against UConn. Baylor Shireman was hitting everything under the sun yesterday. Steven Ashworth, the transfer from Utah State, could do the same. And then Ryan Kalkbrenner is just so long and so fundamentally sound that they don't foul whatsoever. So if we were, in theory, to get a Creighton-Purdue Elite Eight, I would just be so intrigued by that, because Purdue loves to live on the free throw line, and Creighton just does not foul whatsoever.
Yeah. By the way, Marquette, Duke, Wisconsin, the other KenPom teams in Houston's region. I left out Wisconsin. All right. So then what do you like best today pre-flop?
Yeah, a couple games we'll run through quickly. We're starting to get this line moving away from me a little bit as a big favorite. When this matchup popped, I did like Baylor. They opened as low as, I think, 13.5, maybe even 12.5 at one point. We're getting up to the 14.5, 15 range, starting to get a little uncomfortable. But I think one thing, Gil, about Colgate is people know the name at this point, right? If you're a college hoops fan, even if you're a casual college hoops fan, because they've been here 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023. But this team is completely different than what we've seen in the past. Those four teams were all in the top 100 of offensive efficiency. This team is north of 200. I just don't think this Colgate team is on the same level as the teams we've seen in recent years. So I think Baylor, with the athleticism that they have, has the capabilities to blow this game out against Colgate. The one worry I have of backing a favorite of this size like Baylor is that they don't really go with a crazy pace. In 2021, we saw Arkansas make Colgate feel very uncomfortable with full court pressure. And Baylor, you know, one of the slower teams in the country. So that was one game I was looking at from a pre-flop angle. A couple other games real quickly. UAB San Diego State, you know, you're patting at 12 versus 5. I think UAB of the 12s, maybe getting the least amount of notoriety. They are the lowest ranked per KenPom, the only one north of 100. But I think this is a team in UAB hitting its stride, Gil, at the right time, winning the American Athletic Conference. San Diego State, very sound defensively, has a big in Jaden Ledee, who is a force down low. But I have questions about their guard play, their shot making capabilities. So I think UAB plus 6.5 is certainly worth a look. And then real quickly before I get out of here, I'm going to take the bait. I love New Mexico. I know Mountain West play has not gone well. Look at Nevada. Look at Colorado State. But I love the guards that they have in Jalen House and Donovan Dent and Jamal Mashburn Jr. Clemson went 10-10 after the new year. So I'm going to ride with the Lobos.
Favorite thing tomorrow real quick is?
I'll take the points of Oregon against Creighton.
Okay. All right. Tim Murray, everybody. At one Tim Murray. That's the number one Tim Murray. Beeson Primetime weekdays, 6 p.m. Tim, may today be better for you, sir.
Godspeed, everyone.
Godspeed. We love this tournament, and then when it goes against you, like, I hate this tournament. No, we love it, of course. Chris Felica loves it. He's got his plays. College Hoops and Beyond. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. That is a deal right there. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. Promo code they got to use for that, Kelly, once again is...
ANG, like a numbers game.
Listen to the man. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite. All at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Skill Alexander, I just want to read this one tweet because I think it's indicative of something I wanted to bring up. This is from Paul Tony at Tone44Tony. Oh, he might be in. He might be in Tony for all I know.
Tony.
With Tim Meadows. Tony.
The question mark.
Tony show. Maybe the greatest show I've seen this year. I mean, recent times, I should say. Lauryn Hill coming, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Tony says, many thanks to the good Dr. Bob for saving many brackets for me. So Bob did not cover with Kansas yesterday in the pick that he gave, but he gives for his clients, he gives bracket advice, and it was spectacular. And so good on you, Paul Tony, for saying that. I just want to bring that up because it is amazing. Like we've said this before, but it's amazing. So like, let's take Will and Todd on the Megapod. Will and Todd could not have had a more unbelievable Megapod performance last year, to the point that Todd almost could have won $1 million, right, in DraftKings. And Will had FAU in the Final Four. So they both had Mississippi State before you could even say, hey, as the tournament started, Mississippi State loses. And it is amazing to me the incoming that they took on this. And it's just like, okay, guys, did you just forget? And maybe you're new to the Megapod. Then you picked the wrong. Like one guy said, this is the worst decision I ever made in my life. I was like, your life's probably pretty good then, huh? And he sort of backed down after that. Right. But it is incredible. And so, like, you know, Bob was taking for Kansas. Kansas was up 22. Yeah, terrible pick. Chris Valica joins us now. He is the Bear from Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast, which he is the host of, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You were talking to us off air about Drake as well. You took a little incoming for that.
Yeah, terrible to pick Drake as a potential Sweet 16 team up late again and for the second straight year, like Tim was talking about, complete meltdown and down the stretch. You have South Dakota State plus 16.5, down what, 4? I think they got it to in the second half, wind up losing by 17. Yeah, it was one of those days. It popped on Kentucky money line at halftime. Yeah, it was just one of those days that we've all kind of had where basically everything went wrong. But the only thing that did go well for me yesterday was actually being on Kansas and Survivor. So I don't think I would ever plan on using them again. And they did ultimately surprise in so many of those top picks, whether it was BYU or someone else did actually go down. So maybe in the long run, the upsets will pay off if I can work my way through only 5 more rounds of Survivor to get there. Right? What could possibly
be five more rounds by days. You have to count the days, not the rounds. Who will you have in Survivor today, sir?
I think I'm going to use Northwestern and Clemson again. Teams that I don't expect to have. But you use this mentality yesterday too with picking an underdog. You got to use a team that you think you're not going to want to have moving forward. They're getting games today that moving forward, I'm going to like certain teams and I'm going to try and stay away from some of the popular picks that I like. I took Northwestern plus 3 earlier in the week and now they're 4.5 and I don't get it. I know they've got some injuries, but people just keep banking on FAU showing up the way they did last year. Well, they're running out of chances to do that. And they just lost to Temple in the conference tournament. So I don't like them. And I know the note I tweeted out about 11 seeds being favored over 6 seeds. And now they basically all won going back the last 10, 15 years or so, but there's something about the Nevada collapsing and Colorado State looking terrible. And I think Clemson is a little bit underrated. So, Wishnev and I are going to go down with the ship with Clemson. I think
if
I go Clemson. So I'm going to back 2 dogs, Clemson and Northwestern amongst my Survivor picks.
Clemson feels like the ultimate contrarian pick, and they're the higher seeded team today. Mm-hmm. Ultimate contrarian. By the way, Northwestern, of course, led by the great Boo Booey, who Steve Fezzik referred to earlier this week on the show as Boo Boo Booby.
As opposed to Baba Booey.
Yeah, Boo Boo Booby, he called him. All right, what other ATS? Anything else pre-flop ATS today?
Yeah, played St. Mary's minus 5.5 against Grand Canyon. If Grand Canyon maybe would have been drawn against another team, I would have been on Grand Canyon. People talk about the Megapod, how terrible. Like, that was one of the great points that Todd made. Like, there were certain teams that he had an idea on he wanted to fade or back, and like they're all drawn either against each other or against in spots that were terrible. Like, this is a great spot for Grand Canyon at all. Just the way they play, going against an experienced team with good guards, a good post player, a team that's well coached and drilled, that they're not kind of got right, not going to rattle with that slower defensive minded. Like, I like St. Mary's moving forward. I actually have St. Mary's in the Sweet 16 and potentially the Elite Eight, but I didn't like this matchup at all for Grand Canyon. So I laid the 5.5 with St. Mary's, and I took the 3, and you can now get 4.5 with Northwestern.
Yeah, Dr. Bob.
And I almost played Baylor, but it got a little bit too rich for my blood with where it is now. I did play Baylor to win the region, so I'm just going to sit and hope they don't go the way at Kentucky.
Yeah. Bob was on yesterday. He'll be on later today. But one of the things he said yesterday, because we were going through bracket strategy and how you want to go contrarian with what the general populace is picking, and St. Mary's to the Final Four was his suggestion in terms of maximizing your contrarian, aspect of your brackets. I want to bring up that point you made about Todd, because I brought this up yesterday, too. That's like the biggest difference. I mean, there's lots of big differences between mainstream media and the betting media. But while everybody appropriately was killing the committee for having Virginia in, and we talk about who's in, who's out in mainstream, that was the biggest thing, I think. You're right about the Megapod from a macro standpoint, which is from a betting standpoint, that was the cruelty of this bracket. Forget about who's in and who's out. It was just that teams you wanted to bet on ended up generally against each other, and teams who you wanted to fade generally ended up against each other. Not completely, but there were so many examples of that that it kind of muted your excitement level on this. Anything tomorrow, now that we have the first round of the first half of the round of 32 scheduled?
Yeah, I can see myself. I haven't bet it yet. I'm going to see if it maybe climbs up a tick or so. I can see myself back in Michigan State. The number is really low, which seems to me that people are going to be attracted to taking the one seed at a short number. I don't know if that's the right play or not.
Yeah.
But North Carolina looked great yesterday, albeit against a team that had like three players by the end of the game, it seemed like. But Michigan State played great, and we like to joke about the December, January, February Izzo. No, this is the one team that Michigan State really hasn't been able to figure out in the NCAA tournament. Maybe the different coach now in there with different style, maybe that will lend to help Michigan State. I can see myself holding Michigan State, especially if is it 4 out there? Because I know 4. I saw some 3.5.
4. Yeah.
Is it 4?
Yeah.
I can see myself holding a Michigan State plus 4. And then there is a part of me that wants to take Oregon plus the points against Creighton, because this is an Oregon team that I think we saw yesterday with Dante on the inside and Cuisinart on the perimeter. Like, they're a good team that probably was an NCAA tournament team, but they just didn't have the sum of their parts for the entire year. They didn't get a great draw here because they got a team with a big post player as well, and a team that shoots the ball well, and a team that doesn't foul. And I would think that Oregon might get a tough whistle in this game, so I'm gonna sleep on this and see if I want to play this. And I can see Iowa State blowing out Washington State tomorrow. Cyclones.
I'll tell you my instincts. You tell me if I'm ridiculous on these two tomorrow. I feel like laying the points with Gonzaga, laying the 4 against Kansas might be the move, and I feel like laying the 5.5 with NC State against Oakland might be the move. NC State feels to me like we're kind of, again, they had that great run in the ACC tournament. And again, what was the conventional wisdom that people are, oh, well, you got to be exhausted. I mean, they're kids, right? They're not that exhausted. They've had days to relax. They've got in DJ Burns this player that is so different from everybody else. And it's just an interesting team to see how far they can get in this. And they get Oakland, right? So here's the Sweet 16. Take it. It's right there for you. I think they're right. You know what the thing is today also? Last thing before we go. Houston is playing Longwood.
Mm-hmm.
The under on the Longwood team total. Could you see this game being one where like they struggle to score at all?
Yeah, I did take under 51.5
total
for Longwood, because I'm glad you said that, because I could see this being like 39-22 at halftime or something like that.
And so
just totally total slugfest.
Still be better than Colorado State's 11 yesterday at the half. Good God. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the games, man.
You got it, bud.
Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports, Bear Bets Podcast, @ Chris Velika on Twitter. Lebatard next on DK. We're coming back at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.